98.5 The Sports Hub is Boston's home for sports. 98.5thesportshub.com is Boston's home page for sports. Add it to your bookmarks and stay in the game. It's T&R. T&R on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Kutcher and Rich.
Okay, keep doing it.
98.5 The Sports Hub. It is Kutcher and Rich in the Town Fair Tire Studios. Simulcast on NBC Sports Boston. And Fred is, I believe he's blowing some chunks. So he got a text right before the show started saying he will not be able to make it. Dan Roach is actually going to be in just a few. Doing us a solid. Showing up, and I'm sure the place is going to smell nice. Cologne will be walking in the room. I like that. But
I'm very happy for the cologne smell, actually.
Yeah, see, I know. I've taken over Fred's...
Jesus, man.
I'm usually not somebody who's fragrant, but for some reason this morning, it's...
Wow.
It's been a banner day.
My God.
It has been a banner
Nick,
day.
Nick, welcome. How are you?
Yeah. It stinks.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? Thank you.
It's the beard. It's like once I grew the beard, I'm just like, oh, the whole rest of my body just said, screw
it. You turned homeless?
Jesus. No, my colon did.
Okay.
You know, when you first get into radio, I don't know if you experienced this, John Wallach, when you first started doing headlines or even when you were, you know, working in Providence. Providence kind of was where you were first on the air, right?
Manchester, New Hampshire was first, okay. And then Providence, yes.
All right, so everyone does this when they first get into radio. They do a couple shifts, and then you have that really awkward meeting where you go into the program director's office, and they sit down with a tape of whatever show you did that weekend or overnight, and
sure.
They sit there, and it's really, really... horribly uncomfortable. They play it for you, and then they stop it, and then they give you critique, and they rip you apart.
Okay? They call it working with you.
Yeah, they're working with you.
They're
sure.
Working with you.
And that's something that
yes.
I know that we've all done, and I still can remember some of the scathing critiques that I got from back in the day. And, you know, thankfully, as you continue to grow as a show and as your ratings grow, there's a little bit less of that. Now, I still like having the criticism. I'm not opposed to it. I'm not someone who gets offended by it. I like hearing, you know, what people have to say. Oh, my God. So I worked for another show. When I first joined, there was a show called Kid Kratic in the Morning, and I was a brand new member on it. And I'd been there for maybe 2 weeks. And they had taken my first show and done a focus group with the stuff I had done, and they had a video of the people watching me. They have to understand, like, this is a show that had been on for years upon years. So all of the characters are, like, beloved, and here comes this jackass who nobody had ever heard of coming in and, like, doing bits, and they just were merciless. And so I'm sitting there with the new program director. I'm like, all right, well, this sucks. It's the worst. So sometimes you seek out honest analysis, and sometimes it just finds you. Such as this past weekend with one Nick Jamelli and his family. Now, Nick sent me this audio. I thought, in fairness, because I knew that the show was being critiqued, I would not listen to it ahead of time. I gave it to Mike Lockhart in the other room. He's the only one other than Nick who has heard this. So, Nick, was this at Easter dinner?
Yeah, yeah. My dad and I got together. We before going out for Easter dinner, we... we're at the house, and within the first 5 minutes, he was talking about the show.
Okay. Now, had he been drinking at all?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Okay. You know, listen, none of us know what level of drinking, but okay, so he had been drinking. And so he just started talking about the show, and so you being, by the way, great radio instincts, immediately say, can I record this for the radio?
Yes.
Okay, and he had a problem with it?
He didn't have a problem with it.
Okay, nope. Not at all.
Fantastic.
Now, just
was that more to do with the alcohol or just his personality?
We don't have to go down that.
Sorry.
Let's not dwell on that. I just want to find out whether or not he was feeling a little looser.
He was feeling good.
So, once again, just a brief history of Nick on the show. He joined us, 11 years ago, I think, was when he first was an intern on the show. Now he's an employee. It was 10 years, 11 years?
It was 2007.
Okay, yeah. 11 years ago. Yeah. You joined us on the show, and there was kind of a weird moment where you had done something on our show. You had gone out west and spent all this money on the Super Bowl ticket, and like he called you and got really pissed at you.
He was mad. He was very angry how much money I spent on the Super Bowl ticket.
And you like hung up on him, and he left a voicemail. It was like, don't you ever hang up on me. I'm canceling your phone.
You're never hanging up on me.
And then what really pissed him off is that Nick played that voicemail on the show. And, you know, so there's a little bit of a history of him getting mad and stuff like that. But I like Mr. Jamelli.
Yep.
So I'm saying that. yet now before I've heard what he's about to say. So here is Papa Jamelli, Easter dinner, giving an honest analysis of the Touch and Rich show. I have not heard this. Let's let it roll.
Can we use this for the radio?
Yes, you can use him for the radio.
By the way, he sounds exactly like you. That is,
sure.
You are mini-me. You are mini-me. All right, let's take a listen.
Can we use this for the radio?
Yes, you can use him for the radio.
What's your name?
My name is Mark Cibelli.
Okay, yeah.
You're my father.
He hasn't been drinking.
No, he sounds sober.
I think you're making this up. Let me hear that. Let me hear his name over.
Mark Cibelli.
Okay, all right. All right. I mean, he sounds, listen, sober as a judge. All right, let's take a listen.
My name is Mark Cibelli.
You're my father, right?
As far as DNA tests go, yes.
You were just talking to me about the guys on the show and everything, specifically about John Wallach.
Nicest guy in the world. Always got a smile on his face.
That's
always
the problem.
Always seems happy.
John Wallach?
Yes.
Is that the only reason why you like John Wallach?
I like that big head he has.
Wow.
What was your name?
Now, was he talking literally, or
what was your name again, sir?
My name is Mark Cibelli. I like that big head he has that you carry all around. Keep it in the back seat of your car. You show people. You must take a lot of the guy to carry his head around.
The Wallach head.
Yes, the Wallach head.
Do you have any other thoughts about John Wallach?
I think the best skit of all skits was when they were waking him up with the birds out in California.
Wake Up Wallach?
Wake Up Wallach was one of my favorite moments.
What about the other guys on the show?
I love Bird.
Hang on. Does he realize that Bird is essentially your competition?
No.
Like, he's your arch enemy.
That's
it's
right.
Just like... This is like Seinfeld and Newman. He's your kryptonite.
Yeah, yeah.
I love Bird.
Like he does the exact same job you do. And he's saying that he likes it's one of his favorites.
Yeah, thanks, Dad.
Okay. For the support.
I love Bird.
All right, good. Hello, this is, what was his name again?
My name is Mark Cibelli.
And this is your drunken dad recap. We should have the music. All right, let's let it go.
I love that bird. He's a great guy. He does Everett proud.
Why do you like birds so much?
I think the two of you fighting with swords was fantastic. You dressed as a frog?
That's exactly what it was.
Yep. I was a frog.
How great would it be if that never happened? He's just saying that.
Some hallucination he had.
You should have turned him and said, what are you talking about?
What are you talking about, Dad?
Just to mess with him.
Frog?
There's never any frog. Oh, your dad's the best.
Oh, yeah. Right. He is the best. No, I was a dragon.
Oh, I thought you were a green frog. Jeez.
All right, what about Rich? What do you think about Rich?
Ah, Rich is a kind soul, a great guy.
How about Fred?
Fred looks fantastic. He looks 20 years younger. I don't know what he's done.
Oh my God. So now he's effing with us. He's effing with all of us.
No, he's telling the truth. He loves you guys, I'm sure.
How many beers in is this?
I love Bird.
I don't know. I don't know how many. He told me he was only on one.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he's a happy he's a happy drinker.
He's a very happy drinker.
Okay. He's one of my own. Like, you know me. Like, you guys have been around me. I've been drinking before. But you guys are the best. I can see myself.
I love Bird.
I don't know if I would have ever said that. All right, let's let it roll.
He looks 20 years younger. I don't know what he's done. Fred keeps getting younger every year on the show.
That's not what you were saying earlier.
No, I asked earlier if he had that laser nip and tuck. I'm thinking of it for myself, to tell you the truth.
cool sculpting.
That's right.
Someone said, hey, Ed, Nick, you got to get your dad to cut my voicemail. Hello.
My name is Mark Schmelt.
In your car at 98.5. On your phone on the new Sports Hub app. And on your computer. 98.5thesportshub.com. Toucher and Rich. 98.5 The Sports Hub. It's your
absolutely.
Yes.
Every amazing.
Your actions will be taken.
It's your Toucher and Rich.
Big drinking.
Drunk and Red Sox recap.
Like he...
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
98.5, the Sports Hub. It's Rich. Let's go down to Lansdowne Street. Nick, who'd you find?
My name is Mark Schmel.
Actually, I guess this should be a drunken Easter recap. That is Nick interviewing his father yesterday during Easter dinner, who is giving some honesty about the show. And,
I love birds.
Somebody said, this guy is awesome. Why stop at the show? That you should be reviewing movies, TVs, basically anything. And then somebody makes a great point. They said that Nick's dad...
My name is Mark Schmelt.
That is his name. He goes, is he secretly Kodzi?
Oh, that's why they call me Kodzi.
That's pretty close, Nick.
My name is Mark Schmelt.
That's pretty close.
It might be.
I love birds.
Okay, so you can turn the recap music down now. Okay, so Nick's dad is obviously enjoying himself yesterday for Easter, as he should.
He should be.
I am now a fan. He just started talking about the show. And what have we learned so far is that he's a big fan of John Wallach's. I'm a gentle soul. Fred is looks 20 years younger than he did when he started the show.
Right.
Yep. Let's pick it up there.
How about Fred?
Fred looks fantastic. He looks 20 years younger. I don't know what he's done. Fred keeps getting younger every year on the show.
That's not what you were saying earlier.
No, I asked earlier if he had that laser nip and tuck. I was thinking of it for myself, to tell you the truth.
No, that's not what you were saying about Fred. You feel like he...
What, he antagonizes you?
He's an antagonizer. That's what you were saying.
Well, I think he gets short-tempered with people. He doesn't like foolishness. Hey, Fred's father watches Fox.
Did he just essentially call you a fool?
Yeah, I guess so.
That was a good clean shot across your bow there. Yeah.
So let's look at the scoreboard. Nick's dad not only called you a fool, but he said that the guy that you're essentially competing with for the same position,
I love Bird.
He's a huge fan of.
Mm. I love that Bird. He's a great guy.
I mean, it's like, did you feel the dagger being stuck in your back?
Yeah. There's some things at work. There's issues at work here. This isn't good.
Yeah. This is very interesting.
You okay, Nick?
Yeah, I think I'll be all right. That's kind of traumatizing right now.
That's right. Nick's going to turn into Louis Anderson, as Dan was saying. My father didn't love me. Now look at me. I'm overweight. He doesn't love me. I'm a phone screener. All right, so let's continue with the great Mr. Gemelli.
Hey, Fred's father watches Fox. I watch Fox. You know?
Explains a lot.
When Fred explains or talks about his father on the phone, I think he's talking about me.
Oh, so you see yourself as a father figure to Fred?
Well, I see, yeah, in many ways. I've watched these guys evolve from not being parents to now being parents.
Yep.
Not having children and now having children and doing all their activities.
You know,
okay.
So weird.
It's the same thing, you know, either way. Whereas he's your real father.
Right.
You starting to feel a little jealous now?
No, yeah.
Can I call him dad? Yeah, sure. Can I do that? My dad's dead, so okay. Can he be my dad now?
I guess,
right?
Bro.
Listen, if my mom wasn't an upside down pineapple world, then maybe we could get the two together.
There you go.
You know, we could see what could happen.
Oh boy,
she's already
really
getting
digging the path this is headed towards.
My mom's already getting her freak on down at the old retirement community.
Oh.
maybe we need to mom. I'd like to introduce you to somebody.
My name is Bob Chabelli.
And then magic will happen. And then you and I will be brothers for life.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
I've watched these guys evolve from not being parents to now being parents.
Yep.
Not having children and now having children and doing all their activities.
You know they're in their 40s, right?
They're babies.
They're babies?
I have socks older than 40, for God's sakes.
How old are you?
I was 63 the other day.
Now you're 64?
No.
What are you? You question it? The man stated a fact.
Now you're 64?
No.
Yeah, no. He was the other day. He was 64 the other day. 63 the other day.
I was 63 the other day.
Yeah.
It was.
But what are you now?
That may be your best question I've ever heard you ask. Now you're 64?
So you're 64. No, I'm 63. All right. Now you're 64?
No. I turned.
I was 63 the other day.
I turned 63 the other day.
Okay. All right, Dad. Jesus Christ. So, any other complaints about
Friday? You're asking me hard questions.
I'm not asking you any hard questions.
I hope each one of those guys.
Hey, hang on, stop. All right, first of all, you blaspheme in front of him on Easter. That's obviously one other reason he's wildly disappointed in you and likes us better than you. But second of all, you know, the guy is, he's, you're asking him way too hard questions, all right? The questions are way too hard. Be easy on your father, okay?
Are those different? I'm sorry.
You don't ask somebody their age, okay? It's way too hard of a question.
All right, Dad. Jesus Christ. So, any other complaints about
Friday? You're asking me hard questions.
I'm not asking you any hard questions.
I hold each one of those guys in the highest spot you can hire.
Thank you.
Okay. I'm like, do you have any critiques? I'm looking for critiques here.
Critiques? Yeah, bring back Playboy Playmate Crystal, will you?
Oh, my God. What's your drink count?
This ain't drunken recap, this.
Oh, my God.
This ain't drunken recap, this.
And then the narrator, actually, it was.
My name is Mark Chimelli.
So he was a big fan of Playboy Crystal.
Apparently, yeah.
Okay.
He was.
How did he know? Because we weren't on TV at that time.
I don't know. Okay. I think he's...
All right.
Probably did some digging online.
Possibly.
Ah, Bird. Bird is just... You know, everybody wants to have Bird's life. Just great.
You know, he lives at home.
I wish you did.
Oh, boy. Oh, man.
I will honestly say, Bird, I'm a big fan of yours. I do not want your life. I might be one of the rare ones who does not. So he wants you to move back home, Nick.
Apparently, yeah.
Well, that's kind of a tender moment. He's like, yeah. You know, he's a big fan of yours, wants you back.
He's a bigger fan of Bird, though, apparently.
Yeah, listen, Bird, would you like to live at the Gemellis? Why not? Apparently, you've got a free rent situation happening. Would you give up? Well, I guess you got free rent anyway. Your parents don't make you pay rent, do they?
Yeah, they do.
They make you pay rent at your own house?
Yeah.
How much you pay?
Not much.
Like what?
Enough. A couple hundred.
They make you pay a couple hundred dollars to live at home?
Yeah.
All right.
And they pay the phone bill.
Then why not get a place? Then why not get a place? I know it's going to be a little more expensive, but you could do that.
No, I know. I'm trying to find a full-time job right now and still do this.
Okay, but you work like three jobs.
I know. I'm trying to quit, not this one, but hopefully another job so I can get a full-time job and still do this.
Chopping the bananas?
No.
You're not going to quit that one?
I have it made over there.
Okay. What about the Fenway one? You're not going to quit that one?
Maybe, if I have to work on, like, I'd rather do this in the morning and work like a night job.
Ooh.
Interesting.
Breaking news.
Do not
quit your job before concert season is over.
Exactly.
Okay?
Yes.
Just for the sake of the rest of us here on the show. Certain concerts that I might need a little...
Hey.
All right, let's...
You know, he lives at home.
I wish you did.
No. I bought a condo. I'm all set.
Yeah.
Oh, is that it? Oh, yeah, so he didn't do any analysis of you on the show, of what you do.
That's it?
Is there any analysis of Nick?
I don't think he talked about Nick at all.
Oh, jeez.
Through everybody. I mean, I'm offended he didn't talk about me.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. Well, this needs to be a regular thing. I think now was this a special Easter situation for Nick or for Papa Nick?
Or is he normally this happy?
Or like on a weekend would he normally be happy in a talking mood?
This is him. All the time.
Okay, all
right. Fantastic. Not saying that he's drunk all the time.
No, he's not either. The guy's just laid back. He's enjoying himself.
Yeah.
So what does he need to review next? First of all, we need analysis of you and your role on the show, because you got off scot-free. We need to find out what he thinks of you on the show. He loves all of us. I want to see how it compares to what he thinks about you. Should we have him... what about the new Roseanne show? Because he's a big Fox News guy.
Oh, that's a good point.
We could hear him like review the new Roseanne show. Okay. Any suggestions? What should Papa Jamelli review next for the Toucher and Rich show?
My name is Mark Chagall.
Drunken Dad Recap, 617-779-0985, or tweet us at Toucher and Rich. All I know is that if you could get him and...
well, that's why they call me cousin.
Then you've got a sitcom waiting to happen. It is ready to go. Dan Roach will be joining us in just a moment. We'll get his take on everything that's happened with the Red Sox. We'll also talk about what the Bruins did over the weekend with the playoff push right after John Wallach's headlines.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Marchand turns the net, has a shot, and scores! 10 times in his career, Marchand has plunged the dagger into an opponent's heart in overtime.
And go Bruins!
Here's David Krejci, goes around Jordan Stoll, he's got Heinen in middle.
For Pastrnak. Ryan Tannehill's first goal is a Bruin.
Never thought we'd make it all the way.
Saved by Rask. Another save by Tuukka Rask. Tuukka Rask putting on a clinic here. Defense scores. Tuukka Rask saves the day in overtime to win it for Boston.
Like to win with what Boston fans appreciate. Hard work, blue collar, and a certain level of pace and skill.
And the horn will sound. The tempers are still flaring. But when you look at the standings tomorrow, the team at the top of the Eastern Conference, the top of the Atlantic Division, will read Boston Bruins. Seconds left. Chopped free by Krejci. Held in by the Bruins. Still held in. Far circle now. Back is centered. Fired. They score! With 4 seconds left, the Philadelphia Flyers had 3, maybe 4 chances to clear. And the Boston Bruins drive it out in front. And Bergeron was the guy who hammered it home.
The ridiculousness continues. It's Toucher and Rich, 617-779-0985. By the way, some people were asking, what's the song in the montage? It's by Andrew WK, and I'm sorry, but the highlight of my weekend was that Andrew WK
himself like that. And I'm telling you, that for some reason, I don't care if it's a celebrity just says, hey, okay, you're neat. I am completely starstruck. So there you go. A guy that probably couldn't sell out the Paradise. For some reason, it made my weekend. So either way.
Rich, you say celebrity like it's, you got to put that in quotes.
Yeah, well,
no? No,
listen, for me, okay, it's a big deal. Because, we even had him in studio.
It really is.
I love that guy. But this is, but this has been a weird week and a half, 2 weeks, months. When you look at what's going on with the Celtics and the Bruins, they're doing stuff that you shouldn't be able to pull off. Now, once again, as far as the Bruins, just putting everything in perspective, they ended up losing that game. But it does say something about the character of this team that in that final 30 seconds, scrambling around, Judd Surratt said it right there after he screamed very loud and probably made everyone deaf. But justifiably so. That was one of the calls that was worth the scream.
It wasn't Miskin level, but it was certainly worth it.
It was certainly up there. He's right. The Flyers had 3 to 4 chances to clear that puck, but it was just because this team would not give up. They were fighting after that puck with seconds left. They were dog tired throughout the entire game. We saw that. You know, they're playing an afternoon game the day after already playing a game that was, you know, obviously a great win. But for them to be able to bury that with just a couple of seconds left and tie things up and get the point, I think, once again, says a lot of character about this team.
Unfortunately, I think now we've seen it so much, it's kind of expected. Bruins were down 3-1 with 15 minutes left. How many people out there were worried?
You're right. That's the thing. You know that they've always got a shot.
It's commonplace, and we've come to expect it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, sure. But it's nice to see. It's nice to have this team playing like that going into the playoffs, where not only was Backus, by the way, was excellent. Mm-hmm. On top of that, McQuaid is once again, I mean, you want to talk about a team that's ready for the playoffs. The only guy, obviously, that needs to get, he looked a little shaky because it was his first game back, was Zdeno Chara. But let's just put things in perspective. So they continue to do these things like they did, you know, like over the past several weeks. The most impressive stretch for this team over the entire season was when Patrice Bergeron was out and they had that huge streak when basically the only star that was left sitting in there was Brad Marchand. You know, Krejci was still playing as well. But there was a complete lack of, you know, how many guys?
Star
seven
power.
Seven players
a lack
were out.
Of star players.
DeBrusk, Chara,
seven,
McAvoy,
right.
And they continued to. They just continued to win and find ways to win. Now look at what the Celtics have done over the past couple of weeks since Kyrie Irving has been out. That Utah game, there's no way they should have been in that. And Utah was playing for their lives, and sure enough, they ended up winning. To beat the Raptors and only have one point guard in Terry Rozier out there and having to resort to using Jason Tatum in many cases as a point guard, and still they ended up beating them by double digits, right? It ended up being a double-digit win.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's wildly impressive. So Dan Roach actually posted something. He's going to be in just a minute. He posted something on Twitter, and it kind of got me thinking. I don't think he posed the right question, but his question was, who more so deserves Coach of the Year? Would it be Bruce Cassidy's been able to do, or would it be what Brad Stevens has been able to do? Now, the only reason I think that's not a fair question is that as great as Cassidy has been, there's no way the guy who's coaching the Golden Knights isn't going to win this. Gerard Gallant, to be able to have a expansion team with a bunch of nobodies and cast-offs that nobody wanted and
clinch
play the
division,
they're
the two seed, you know.
This is like you never see this once in a lifetime. NHL. This is something that is, you know, far and away the story in the NHL. However, when you compare the two, which one has done a better job coaching the team that they have, that's an interesting question. Which run has been most impressive with which coach being able to continue to win with the pieces that they have had available to them? And not even just the pieces they've had available to them. If you look at the difference between how a lot of these same pieces played last year before Cassidy showed up and they had Handsome Ralph, then, and you look at what he's been able to turn the young guys into and giving them a chance, I don't know whether or not that's a case of Bruce Cassidy just being an amazing coach, or a mix of Bruce Cassidy being a very good coach and Claude Julien just not giving these guys a shot and handling the youth on this team completely wrong. Now, Brad Stevens, on the other hand, and we talked about this earlier on in the show, continues to surprise us. He does things in games that, I know all these games matter, but essentially they've got the, you know, right now they're locked into second place. They could still get first. I mean, they play the Raptors one more time. But the way that he ends up having players do things that you would never expect them to do. Aaron Baines, he had him shooting threes at the beginning of the game. The way he's got, as I was mentioning, when you've only got Terry Rozier playing point guard, his ability to take a guy out of position like Jason Tatum, who's really kind of played all over the place. You know, positionless basketball is what you were saying earlier. That is what Brad Stevens believes in. And succeed in any kind of aspect of that. The way that he has been able to just out of nowhere start running zone in that game against Utah and shut down the best defensive player in the league.
Now we're getting into the crux of the situation. Brad Stevens has had to change his game plan completely because he's lost so many important players. Now, Bruce Cassidy has lost an equal percentage of important players. Obviously, you play more if you're a hockey team than you do if you're a basketball team, but the percentages are about the same. How much has Bruce Cassidy had to change his game plan entirely?
Oh, man. I mean, but think of the amount of times that he's had to move lines around.
I understand that you move lines around, but the philosophy is always to say, look, both of them are doing a fantastic job. You're splitting hairs here. They've both done a great job. They're both Coach of the Year worthy. And if it wasn't for Gallant, Cassidy would be a shoo-in.
Sure.
But, I mean, I'm not here to tell you I have an answer to this. Maybe someone can call me and tell me. How much has Cassidy had to change his game plan during the course of the season?
You know what,
because Stevens has had to change his game plan entirely around in order to keep milking wins out of what's left from the Celtics.
You know what might be the best thing that Bruce Cassidy did all season long was benching Tuukka Rask. Because look at how Tuukka Rask was playing.
He's responded, that's right.
And after he benched Tuukka Rask, ever since he came back, the guy has been nails. I mean, think about that. After that bad start, I want to go back and actually look at the numbers. But after that bad start, he puts Udobin in for a while, essentially benches Tuukka Rask, and ever since then, Tuukka has been...
Think of all the questions he got at the beginning of the season when he did that.
So you want to talk about big moves that Bruce Cassidy has made this year. That's the most impressive to me, because that took guts, too. That wasn't just, here's necessity, and there's guys that are hurt, we have to find a way, and they ended up, you know, stumbling upon the one thing that worked or was effective. That was something that took guts, standing up to a star player and removing him from his position in order to motivate, and it worked. So, I mean, it's tough, and it's a great, I don't want to say problem, it's a great question to ponder, because we're just so lucky. It makes you sit back and think that, you know, Belichick obviously always gets the praise for being a great coach, but I think you're looking at two guys who, now Bruce Cassidy still has to prove himself. I think Brad Stevens has to a point proven himself, but damn, we're in a great position. Right now you have three teams with coaches that have been unbelievably impressive in the decisions that they've made.
Now Cassidy has to go and win a couple of playoff series.
Sure, of course. Of course he does. I mean, he does have to prove himself in that manner, but this year he couldn't have done a much better job. With what he's got, could he have done any better?
No, he
couldn't have. 617-779-0985. Who are you most impressed with? What Brad Stevens has been able to do with his crew, or with what Bruce Cassidy's been able to do with his Bruins crew? We'll take your calls in just a moment right after this.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
It is Toucher and Rich, and Fred is sick this morning. And Dan Roach has come in to class up the joint. Thank you, Dan, for coming in.
Oh, it was awesome. Sat in the traffic for an hour and 45 minutes.
Yeah.
Morning, Danny.
Sucks.
Hi, Johnny.
It is not fun.
Welcome to Monday.
Yeah, and then there's that great feeling that everyone has, you know, when it's April and it's snowing outside. It's not depressing in the least bit.
No, not at all.
Just wait till the weekend, boys.
Home open is Thursday,
right? Wait till the weekend.
Yeah, feeling good? Excellent. Well, this is what we did, Dan, use something. We piggybacked off something I saw you tweet. And although I do think it was worded.
Sorry.
Not fairly.
I was in traffic.
Oh, you're tweeting in traffic. Listen, you got to do something while you're sitting.
Yeah.
Said, who is the most deserving in his respective league's Coach of the Year award? You put Bruce Cassidy and Brad Stevens. And as I said earlier,
How about in Boston? Just in Boston.
Okay, well, that's different. Because right? Bruce Cassidy, as I said, is, you know, he's not going to win because what the guy did in Vegas this
Gerard
year.
Gerard Gallant.
Yeah, he's been amazing. I mean, it's an expansion team. It's a bunch of throwaways, and he's, you know, got one of the best records in the league. But if you just want to say which coach has been the most impressive this season and what they've been able to pull off, that's a tough one. Let's go with Justin. Justin, what's up, man? You're on Toucher and Rich.
Hey, how you guys doing? Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Thanks, man.
Going into this season, you know, everyone kind of picked, you know, after getting Hayward, after getting Kyrie, everyone picked the Celtics to be a favorite. And, you know, going back to November, if you really thought that the Bruins would be first in the Atlantic, first in the East, you know, I'd look at you like your head was on backwards. You know, you have Tuca getting pulled and everything like that. So I think what Bruce Cassidy was able to do with this team and bring them to where they are, I think that he does have the little advantage in who should get Coach of the Year in Boston.
Sure. The only thing I would say is that it's a completely different team last year than it was this year for Brad Stevens. Now, if you looked at that team and said this, you know, as it was constituted on day one, yeah, you expected them to be right here, if not in first place.
Completely overhaul the roster, and then you get all your guys in place, and you lose one of your key components on opening night.
Yeah, that's...
And how many games did you not have Kyrie Irving for? How many games has Marcus Smart missed? I mean, how many games did you have Terry Rozier start at point guard? You know, how many games did Al Horford miss with a concussion and other injuries? And here they are. They have equaled their win total from last season already.
Yeah, I know. It's wildly impressive. Let's go to Bill. Bill, you're on Toucher and Rich. Bill, what's up, man? Bill!
You're allowed that one.
Who is this? Who is this on the phone?
My name is Mark Chabell.
Nick's dad, why are you calling it again?
I love Bird.
I know. Who doesn't?
This ain't drunken recap,
I want him back.
Fred can't wait to hear this, right?
I want him back.
20 years younger.
I know. You said that Fred was in.
Fred looks fantastic. He looks 20 years younger. I don't know what he's done.
He's just got a big smile on his face. That's what I picture.
It's the cool sculpting. So,
my name is Mark Chabell.
I'm going to add that in my head.
Now that's why they call me Codsy.
The rest of the day.
Can we come over for Easter next year?
It's codename Codsy. You know what? Once again, it's just something to think about. And
I think Brad, you picture just loves the combinations, just loves to figure out who we got to play tonight, who's out, I don't care who's out. Give me this. You just sit here, you picture him sitting there doing the X's and O's against the opponent. With Cassidy, I think it's more of the overall organization implementation of the youth and getting them all to mix together. So it's more of a longer process rather than a nightly basis, I think, for Cassidy, even though he's been hit hard lately of the injuries and they're all coming back. So I think it's a great debate of both two and different sports, different players that they have with them, different maybe egos sometimes because of the money that's out there in the NBA.
Sure.
I just think it's a good one. And like, yeah, I think I just heard you say a few minutes ago between Belichick and these two guys. It's been pretty special here in Boston.
And with Stevens and Cassidy, one of the most exciting things, too, is that they have dialed into the youth. They have dialed into whoever the younger guys are on the team, and they brought out the best of them. I mean, what Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum have been able to do this season, at least Tatum has been beyond expectations. We know that because, one, Fred Toucher will be giving John Wallach a back rub, I believe, because Fred didn't believe that Jason Tatum would average more than 13 points. To be quite honest, I didn't either.
What's he at?
13.8 or something crazy like that. He's, you know, obviously it's trending upwards. I think we said even if he goes into every game and gets like 0 points,
he's still going to make it.
Almost. It's like he's going
to
be right there.
The batting title coming up to the final day. If I don't play, if I don't sit, or how many at bats can I go over?
Right. Well, that's what Fred's doing in all of his calculations. But
that's why he's sick.
But there was some interesting news that happened over the weekend. Mike Giardi was on top of it regarding Malcolm Butler. He spoke to Sports Illustrated and gave us a little more of a glimpse of what was going on. Also, Rob Gronkowski and the new report that he still doesn't get along with, or there's some strangeness between him and Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick doesn't believe possibly that Gronkowski isn't all in. Does that mean he's going to get traded?